Thank you and good morning. It is easy for us to underestimate what God can do through some individual. The individual may seem to be insignificant because of his inabilities, but God can do great things through him. This is well illustrated in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the story of David and Goliath. David was viewed by many as being insignificant and incapable when it came to battling with a Philistine champion named Goliath. But with the Lord, David accomplished what others never thought he could. This morning, I want to look at four different views of David revealed in this story and some lessons that we can learn from them. First of all, there is the view of Eliab, David's older brother. Well, let's first look at what was happening. There is a battle between the children of Israel, that's God's people, and the Philistines, who are idolaters. Now, David is not in the Israelite army. He is a young lad who keeps his father's sheep. But his three older brothers are soldiers in the Israelite army. David's father sends him to the camp of the Israelites to bring his brothers food supplies and to see how his brothers fare. He was to bring back news to his father. Well, when David arrives, he hears the challenge of Goliath. Now, Goliath is a Philistine champion warrior who is about 9.5 feet tall. He's a giant. And the challenge that he issued was, "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." That's 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 and 9. Well, the men of the Israelite army were dismayed and greatly afraid. No one would accept the challenge. Well, when David came, he heard Goliath's challenge. It says in verse 26, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" You see, David is trying to persuade the men to accept the challenge. Now, consider Eliab's reaction. It says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" Well, when Eliab viewed David, he viewed him with criticism. It is a shame that people can hardly do anything that is good and right without being criticized. David is trying to encourage God's people to fight one who is defying the armies of the living God. And this is a good thing. But he is criticized. You know, Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, casting out demons. But the Jews accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But you know, if there is unjust criticism, it is better to be the one criticized than the one doing the criticizing. Can you imagine how Eliab must have felt when David went out there and defeated Goliath? He probably felt bad about the fact that he had criticized David, don't you think? And how are the critics of Jesus going to feel when they stand before Jesus in judgment? There they will stand before the one they criticized, and this one holds within his hand their eternal destiny. But to David's credit, he did not allow the criticism of his older brother keep him from continuing to talk to the other Israelite soldiers about the need to fight Goliath. And it did not keep him from eventually offering to fight Goliath himself. You know, just about anybody can sit back and criticize people. But it takes a big man to overcome the criticism and continue to do the work that needs to be done. Do not allow criticism to keep you from doing what you know the Lord wants you to do. Have the faith and courage of David to fight off the criticism and to do the right thing. And secondly, there is the view of King Saul. David says to King Saul that he will go and fight with this Philistine. You see, no one else would go. Well, Saul said to David, You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Verse 33. Well, Saul looks at David and he says, "You can't do it." He compared David with Goliath, and there was no way David could defeat Goliath. Well, David responded by telling Saul of incidents where he was keeping his father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came and took lambs out of the flock. David went and struck the lion and the bear and killed them and delivered the lambs from their mouths. David said, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Verses 34 through 37. Well, David is saying, "I have not decided to go because I think I am strong enough myself to defeat that Philistine warrior. It is the Lord that will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Just as the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me." David was relying upon the Lord. He knew that he couldn't do it by his own power, but he knew what God could do through him. We must not underestimate what God can do through us if we trust Him and yield to His will. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4, verse 13. But then thirdly, we see the view of Goliath, the giant. Saul allowed David to go and fight Goliath. When David went out, he took his staff, no doubt his shepherd's staff, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Well, this is what Goliath sees when David comes out to fight with him. Well, Goliath responds with contempt combined with ridicule and threats. Verses 42 through 44 says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field.'" You know, I would think that the size and strength of that giant would have been intimidating to David, besides his words of intimidation. But David did not let that affect him. He pressed forward. You know, we face giants too. We face giants who oppose God and His people. Atheism, agnosticism, materialism, worldliness, those who promote homosexuality, abortion, etc. You can be assured that they look upon us who are Christians with contempt. They despise who we are and what we stand for. Have you heard those in the news media who ridicule those like us who believe in the Bible? There are college professors who have no problem making fun of those in their classes who claim to be believers in God, in Jesus Christ, and in the Bible. Their contempt is right in your face. Others are more subtle in their opposition. It may be your neighbors or fellow workers. They may not be in your face, but in a more subdued way, they have contempt for you. You can be assured that the giants of evil look with contempt and ridicule on those who stand for truth and right. They may threaten persecution, but just like David, we must not let them affect our faith in God. We must press forward. But then fourthly, there is God's view of David. When God looked on David, I think he saw a giant. There were 2 giants out there that day. One was a physical giant, and the other was a spiritual giant. When God looked upon David, he saw a man of faith, a man of vision, a man of courage, a man of initiative, a man who would lean on God for his strength, a man who would give God the glory, rather than taking glory for himself. This is what God saw when he looked upon David. Look at verses 45 through 47. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. You see, David knew where his strength was. He was willing to acknowledge God's strength and to give God the glory. Now that is a giant in God's eyes. And the Lord was with David. He defeated Goliath that day. He took a stone and slung it in his sling, and the stone sank in Goliath's forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Verse 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him." It did not take five smooth stones. It only took one, because God was with him. Who do I want to be praying for me when I am sick? When I have loved ones who are sick, when I have troubles, who do I want to be praying for me? Who do I want to be praying for me when I am grieving the loss of a loved one? It doesn't matter their standing in the eyes of men. I want people whom God is with praying for me. The most powerful person there can be is the one whom God is with. He is a spiritual giant in God's eyes, while may be viewed as a pygmy in the eyes of men. Do you ever feel intimidated when in the presence of others who are intellectually superior than you are? Maybe they have a higher IQ, they know more, they are far more articulate than you, they're more talented than you are. They may begin to ridicule and undermine your faith. Do you think that God is impressed with all their talent? When God looked at Goliath, do you think He said, "Wow, he is big"? Well, I don't think so. What is he to God? Do you think that God looks on those who are so talented with high IQs and then says, "Wow, they are smart and talented"? Well, I don't think so. Who are they to God? You know, we may be intimidated by them because of their talent and their threats of persecution, but what are they to God? God is not impressed with them. God is impressed with a person of faith in Him, a person of vision, a person of courage, a person of initiative, a person who would lean on God for His strength, a person who would give God the glory rather than taking glory for himself. And that person can be me. It can be you. If we will make ourselves what we ought to be, people of genuine faith, God can open a door to us. God can use us for good. God can do marvelous things through us. Let us throw off our intimidation and stand up with faith, as David did, and go and work for the Lord. He will do great things through us. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a question for our program, we'd like for you to send it in. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your requests or ask your questions. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our phone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.